This is Rav Gedalia Shor's Or Gedaliah, the section on Purim, and it begins, the title of the piece, which you don't have on the page, most of you don't have on the page, it says, Purim Hisgabris Al Seder Shal Mikra. Purim is defeating, is being misgaber on the order of Mikra. What's Mikra? Mem Kufresh Hey, right? Not Mikra as in Mikra Megillah, but Mikra happenstance, chance. To conquer the thought that things in my life are by chance. Nothing in my life is by chance. The truth is, the deeper you get into Torah's Baal Shem Tov, the more one realizes that that's true. Right? I mean, amongst the Rishonim was the debate, how much Hashkacha Pratis a person has, how much is Hashem actively involved in my life, different opinions in Chazal. But certainly, by the time you get into the Baal Shem Tov and Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, in Chassidus, there's no question that we believe very deeply that everything in this world is governed in a very precise way by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does that fit with free will? Okay, so it just makes a hard question harder, maybe, I don't know. We're not going to solve the whole free will versus God knowing things anyways. So the Rambam says it's deeper than the deepest oceans. We're not going to solve that. So we have to believe that Hashem is actively involved in our life. Okay, so he begins. I'm just going to summarize what he has here at the very introduction. He begins by quoting one of the opinions in the Gemara, Megillah Daf Yoram Beis, where the Gemara and Megillah quotes drashos from Amoraim, which they used to begin their Purim Shir with. Meaning, it says, for example, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni pasach lapischa lahai parshasa mehacha. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni began his drasha from this point, and he'd give a drasha on a pasach in Yeshaya. The idea of pasach lapischa lahai parshasa mehacha, this idea of opening up the shir with the Pesach, the way the Sfasemis explains it, and he quotes it here, not in the name of the Sfasemis, is that the psicha, the way you begin something, is a psicha, it's a mafteach to the whole thing. So meaning, each of these Amoraim picked one drasha, which they thought, if you delve into this drasha deeply, you'll come to the secret of the whole Megillah. And each Amora had his own hashkafa on what that was. So that's what I meant. Pasach lapischa lahai parshasa mehacha. This Amora began, he found his maftayach, the key to the Megillah, in this Maimar Chazal. This one found his maftayach in this Maimar Chazal. Okay, and each one brings a different Maimar Chazal. And he goes on, he talks a little bit about what that Maimar Chazal is. Now again, you don't have this on the page in front of you, but we will in a minute. He starts by quoting the Rambam in Hilchos Tanyos, where the Rambam describes what's the point of a fast day. I didn't give you the first page, mostly because I had a little Rachmanis on paper. I felt bad. I feel waste a lot of paper here, so. It's just a couple paragraphs. The Rambam, but this is important, you should write this down. The Rambam says that what's the point of a fast? The reason I picked this piece of all the Purim pieces to learn, because he talks and he explains how Tanis Esther is mamish, the root of all fasts. It explains to us the secret of fasting, and in particular, how a fast, in general, is a response to defeating a malik. How does a fast day defeat a malik? So you'll tell me, well, you know, we have a lot of fast days. Yeah, but the root of all fasting is, in many ways, the fast that we, in conjunction with a malik, as we'll see. So how is a fast day a response to a malik? So listen to this Rambam. The Rambam says, about a fast day, Davar zeh midarche hatshuva, shebizman shetavo sara v'yizaku aleh. This is one of the ways of tshuva. When a person goes through a difficulty, and he cries out to Hashem over it, and he understands, shebiglal ma'aseim ha'ra'im hura lehem. Why did bad things happen to me? Because of my behaviors. It's not, I accidentally got a flat tire. A malik we're going to see is the world of mikra, where everything is happenstance. I stubbed my toe because I wasn't paying enough attention. Right? I didn't get the job, or I didn't do well in the test because I didn't study enough. That, okay. Obviously, there's many layers of attributing something to mikra, to happenstance, but by defeating a malik, we're trying to throw off the notion that anything happened by chance. And a fast day, as we begin right here with this opening paragraph from the Rambam tells us a fast day is an opportunity for us to realize that when something bad is happening in the world, there's a cause and an effect. There's a rabbono sholem, there's a response. Hashem is responding to something that happened or is happening. Right? He quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah, avanoseichem hitu, that your averos caused certain things to happen. And that's what causes the difficulty to depart. Okay? But the Rambam writes, listen to the words of the Rambam. Again, we're not on the page yet, for those who just walked in. About im lo yizaku v'lo yariyu. If you don't cry out, if you don't call out to Hashem, ela yomru davar zeh miminhag ha'olam. If you say, things happen, you know? Stuff happens. That's the way the world runs. V'tzarezu nikra nikres. And this is just happenstance. A person who says that, the Rambam says about such a person, Hare zu derech achzariyot. This is cruelty. If you think that Hashem, right? I heard yesterday about a person who passed away suddenly. And this was a family who's already suffered a lot. They lost a child also in a very strange illness. Yeah, so to say that, you know, that's just life, you know? Bad luck. Twice they had bad luck. Yeah? That's terrible. That's cruel. Right? It's cruel. It's not addressing the fact that what's happening in their life is part of a higher order. And you're basically giving them no hope other than to just roll the dice and see how life goes. And God forbid that takes the Kodesh Baruch Hu out of the equation entirely. So a person, when bad things happen, you say, yeah, that's just how things go. You don't reflect on it. You don't try to grow from it. You don't try to change from it. You don't try to think, how can I be better from this? That's a cruel way to respond. That makes the world a crazy place. And it causes people to, whatever, if the world is just chance anyway, so why should I do tshuva? Why should I be a good Jew? Good Jew for what? For nothing. There's nothing out there. And then by being a bad Jew, since God is actually out there, there's going to be more tzaras on the world. So God forbid a person who looks at life in that type of way, in a way that things are just mikra. And he quotes the psukim in the Torah, v'halachtem imi b'keri, v'halachti gamani imachem b'chamas keri. If you walk with me, if you view Hashem as random, as chance, then Hashem says, I'm going to respond to you all the more so in that way. If you don't make Hashem real in your life, then Hashem says, I'm going to have to force you to see things, to acknowledge my presence. I'll even have to reveal myself to a power if he denies me and denies me and denies me. Eventually, I'll mamash come down and reveal myself. Take La Yisrael and Mitzrayim in that way. Okay, so Rav Gedalia Shur explains that there's a cause and an effect in the world. Right? That we have to realize that there's a cause and effect, and things are not random. Okay, so now on the top of the page they have in front of you. Let's take a look. He says, just read you the last two lines on the page right before you have, V'chol inyano b'yamei chayav hu li'ishtadel sha'asibos yihu tovim, az yu kol inyane, okay, top of the page, misnagim al yidei seder hazeh, shal sibo misoviv. Now again, you can understand, let's set up as three levels, right? There's, everything is completely random. Nothing means anything. Then you can say that there's cause and effect. But then you can say that there's God involved in that cause and effect. Okay, so the person who just adopts an approach of cause and effect. Ki kein seder HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you believe in chance, then your life will be governed by chance. If you believe in God, then your life will be governed by God. The more you believe in an idea, this is an idea that is found in many Svarim, the more you accept the truthfulness of something, the more it can help you. The more you think, I can do this on my own, the less Hashem says, okay, go do it on your own. The more Hashem says, go do it on your own. The more you say, I can't do this without you, Hashem, the more Hashem says, okay, so then let me come and help. Let me find a way to help you. Sha'akol misnahig al yedei hasibos, hu mishubad tachas haseder hazeh. If you see everything as natural cause and effect, so then you're bound by that order. You choose to live in the lower natural reality, that becomes your reality. V'zeo mashem mefarish ha-Rambam as a pasuk. So now look, this is what the Rambam explained. Im telchu imi bakari, if you choose to adopt an approach of mikra, of happenstance, of chance or physical reality of natural order, Shema Adam Mamin Beseder Shal Mikra Oz Miskayim Bov Halachti Gamani Yimchem BeChamas Keri. You act this way to me, Hashem says, I'll act that way to you. You choose what type of system you want to live by. Shakarish Baruch Hu Meshabdo Tachas Seder Zeh Shal Mikra V'hu B'Habachina Shal Mida Keneged Mida. The way to view it is Mida Keneged Mida. If you want to live a natural life, then you will live a natural life. The avoda obviously is to not do that. The avoda is to recognize that within the natural order, every bit of it is filled with the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, second paragraph. Ach b'soch haseder hazeh shal sibu mesoviv. Within this order of cause and effect, yesh biyachol ha'adam liros hanekuda hapnimis, to recognize what is giving life to all of that reality. How Hashem is the cause of all causes, right? The ultimate cause, the supernal cause. And everything that happens in this world is with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it hurts, and it takes time for a person to mature and to grow and to understand. I'll tell you a vart that I thought of this morning. It's vaday worth a whole shir, but we'll just say the vart. I don't want to waste it like as a vart, but I want to share it with you. The pasuk says about Mordechai and the way that he took care of Esther, it says what? It says, Vayihi Omen Es Hadassah. We know from Chazal, at least in the Medrash, the Gemara says Vayihi could be understood different ways. Vayihi Bimei is for sure bad. The phrase Vayihi Bimei introduces something bad. The Gemara says that. V'haya, the Gemara doesn't comment on, but the Medrash says, V'haya introduces something good. V'haya is a good thing. Vayehi, the Gemara says, goes either way, depending on context. However, the Medrash says Vayehi is more bad. And that's usually how the Sfarim understand it. Vayehi is usually bad. So during davening this morning...
What was the first one?
Vayehi b'mei is bad. Vayehi b'mei achashverosh, bad. Right? Sefer Rus also begins. Vayehi b'mei, it was a famine. Vayehi b'mei shvot ha-shoftim. It was in the time when the judges judged. That's how Megillas Rus begins, and it's a terrible famine, and people are dying, and it's bad things. Okay, so the Gemara has five Vayehi b'meis, which are always bad. V'haya is good. Vayehi, the Gemara says, could be either or. But Chazal generally understand Vayehi as something bad. That's how most Svarim, later Svarim, understand Vayehi. So I was thinking this morning, Vayehi omen es hadasa. Vayehi omen, what's the pshat? Vayehi omen, the pshat is Mordechai raised hadasa, right? But Vayehi means Vayehi, that the tsaros of a person, what does omen mean? Right, Mordechai raised, omen means right, an uman, a professional, an artist, a person who acquires a skill, a piano player, yeah? Whose fingers know naturally how to, right? Vayehi omen es hadasa. Sometimes through our struggles in life, the vayehis of our life, our omen, they raise up hadasa. Hadasa means, like the hadasim, which are known for their good smell, the reach nicholach, that there's a certain smell, there's a certain scent that a Jew can acquire to give nachas ruach to Hashem that comes from suffering. Right? Not that we ask for it, but whether we like it or not, we all have it in various ways. Not to, God forbid, compare anyone's situation to anyone else's situation. Right? But there's a metzias of vayehi omen. There's a metzias that sometimes a tough thing in life makes me bigger. If I recognize Hashem in that. If I'm a person who falls into the world of a malik, then everything is just chance and I don't learn from anything. If I'm a person who understands there's a God who runs the world, then vayehi, then when I'm going through a difficulty, it's omen, it lifts me up, it makes me bigger. It teaches me things. I learn something from it. I become more aware. I become a bigger person. And that's chayev inish lebesume v'puraya. Rav Avram Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Kiva Eger, son of Rav Label Eger, and the Shevet Mehuda says, Chayev Inish Lubisume means a person, he says, like a person who walks into a perfume store. Yeah? There's a bosem, besamen. Yeah, a sweet smell. He compares it to a person who walks into a chanut bosem, to a store of perfume. You pick up a scent. Right? Chayev Inish Lubisume Puraya. A person needs to become scented on Purim. Vayehi, how does a person become scented? Vayehi, through the struggles, Omen es hadasa. Had there never been a Haman, there never would have been a Purim. Had there never been a Gezeras Misa, there never would have been a reacceptance of the Torah, a Kimu v'Kiblu. I think that's really another pshat and answers the Bnei Yisrael's question. Bnei Yisrael says, why do we call the Yomtiv Purim? Why would we name the Yomtiv for the Tzara? How would we name, right? Pesach is a good thing, Sukkot is a good thing, that's the Yeshua. Why name the Yomtiv after the poor? Right? The poor of Haman, that was the frightening part of the whole story. The answer is, no, on Purim, more than any other time, we learn that from our struggle, right, comes a salvation. That to the point that we can call the Yom Tov Pur as a celebration. Vayehi. Yes, we went through a lot. We were scared for our lives. But we were omen. We became so much bigger from that. Maybe that's why the Yom Tov is called Purim. Okay? But a person, again, has to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hand in it. To recognize, like he says here, again, in the second paragraph, to find the Nekuda Pnimis, Echa Kodesh Baruch Hu, who sibas kol hasibos. How Hashem is what? Hashem is the cause of all causes. And to realize that there's nothing mikra that happens in this world. Okay? Let's go on to the next paragraph, the bottom of the right-hand column. The Medrash tells us, where does the Malay come from? The Malay comes from Esav. What do we know about Esav? Says the Medrash, Esav, da shav shabarasi ba'olami. What does shav mean? Yeshua's shav. Don't use Hashem's name in vain. Right? It's worthlessness. It's pointless. Yeah? Esav dash shav. This is the emptiness. This is the emptiness, the worthlessness, the nothingness that I've created in my world. Right? How could something be described as shav? It means it has no purpose. In other words, it would be better if it wasn't here. And that's a malik. A malik, the grandson of Esav, it would be better if they weren't here. Esav, his name is Esav, is a lashon of shav, of worthlessness. Uperushahu, shebesoch, seder ha'olam, seder ha'kadosh baruch hu bria, shekol yesoda hi sheker. Hashem put something into the world, as hard as it is for us to understand such a thing. But Hashem put something in the world whose very essence is what? Is sheker, is falsehood. And that's why it has no kiyum, it can't last forever. A malik needs to be destroyed. Ve'ein l'sheches klal l'metzias amitius. And it's not at all connected to true reality. Its whole thing is dimyonos. V'chol yesodei hi mikra, and its whole existence is almost by chance. It's happenstance. V'davaku b'seder hazeh shel mikra, and it sees all of life through what? Through chance. V'abriya hazos hu Esav, and that creation is initially called Esav, which means that if Esav and Yaakov are twins, and Esav represents the nothingness of the world, that means the Klal Yisrael represent the ultimate kiyum in the world. Right? That means we're connected to the ultimate reality, ultimate existence, ultimate truth of reality. And Esav is connected to what? To the emptiness and the sheker, the lie, so to speak, of this world. V'zeu kol yisod lo shel amalek. And that is, he says in the last line of the column, that is the essence of amalek. Shekosav etzlo asher karcha baderech milashon mikra. How does amalek attack us? Asher karcha baderech. They happened upon us on the road. What does it say by Haman? He quotes the Medrash in the second line. Amasha kosav migilas Esther, es kol asher karahu. Haman hears everything that happened. Everything's just happening with Amalek. As opposed to a Jew, nothing's happening. I'm exactly where I need to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this situation, good, bad, different, whatever it is. I'm where I need to be. There was a couple that was once traveling for Yontif across the United States. They were flying to California. And something happened with their plane. They ended up landing somewhere in middle America. So they called the Rav back in New York and said, Rebbe, we were supposed to be by the children in Los Angeles for Yontif, and now we're stuck in, you know, who knows, in Milwaukee. You know? So the Rebbe says, stuck? A Jew's not stuck. A Jew's never stuck. A Jew is sent. What are we going to do for food? Okay, you got to figure out what you're going to do for food. What are we going to do for davening? It's not going to be Yontif. Okay. It's a good question. It'll be a different type of Yontif. You're not stuck in Milwaukee. You were sent there as a shliach. Hashem wants you to be there for whatever reason. Hashem wanted your shvuas this year to be over there and not where you wanted it to be. And that's not mikra. That's not happenstance. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's master plan. You're going to do something there that's going to you know, bring us closer and closer to Mashiach. Okay, so Amalek is this whole world, Asher Karcha, it's called Asher Karahu. It's all mikra. Right? And the Gemara says, the Medrash, I'm sorry, Darshans, Ben Beno Shel Asher Karcha. Haman, you're using lashons of mikra just like your great grandfather, Amalek, used to use expressions of mikra. Shamalek hu aseder hazeh shel mikra, shesider Kodesh Baruch Hu ba'olamo. Amalek represents, again, that false perception that things just happen in this world. That there's merely a natural order to the world. V'seder hazeh shel mikra eino mitzias v'urakid b'dimyon k'sha'od mistak al chitzoni asadavar. When does a person think that this is true? When does a person look at the world and say, yeah, what do you mean? There's science, there's nature, there's cause and effect. Of course, that's true on one level, but a person who stops there, it's Amalek, he stopped there. That's the chitzonius of everything. The pnimius of reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills all of reality. And therefore, l'chein k'siv eitzel Amalek, Reishis Gayim Amalek. Amalek is the first nation to attack us. V'achriso. Right? They put themselves out there up front. You know why? Because they think they want to, like, yeah, yeah, oh yeah, we're very important. No, you're the least important, actually. And therefore, the pasuk says in Balak, it says achriso ade oved. What's their achris? Their achris is nothing other than what? Being destroyed. Reishis Gayim Amalek. Ah, we're the best. No, you're not. Klal Yisrael is the best. Bini b'chori Yisrael. And the Bechor, the true Bechor is Klal Yisrael. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Kadesh li kol Bechor. Kadesh li kol Bechor is not only halacha with regard to firstborn baby boys or for firstborn animals and things like that, right? Firstborn donkeys. Yeah. Kadesh li kol Bechor is the very essence of Klal Yisrael. Right? That we're the Reishis. Okay. Maybe Sof Masav Machshav Atchila. Taking us a long time to become recognized by the world as the best. But we were always the original intention of why Hashem created the world. I realized this morning, the gematria of Achriso Ade Oved, this pasuk, V'Achriso Ade Oved, is 722. Right? Amalek is the ultimate Achris, meaning what? They're done. They're finished. Yeah, they don't have a future. Klal Yisrael is the ultimate Bechor, the true Bechor, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Yeah, so Achriso Ade Oved is the same gematria as Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. V'achriso adei oved is 722, and Kadesh Likol Bechor is 722. Because it's Elu Mazel. Amalek tries, oh no, Reishis Gayim Amalek, look at us, Reishis Gayim. No, you're not Reishis Gayim. You're not at all Reishis Gayim. Klal Yisrael is the true Bechor. Kadesh Likol Bechor is Klal Yisrael. Who are you really? V'achriso, what's your end? Adei oved. Complete destruction. Because if the world is run by chance, then there's a chance you won't be around any longer. If the world is run by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Hashem selects you to exist, if you're an expression of Hashem in this world, then of course you exist forever. Right? Amalek has no achris, they have no kiyum. There's nothing real about them. In the footnote, it's interesting, in footnote number 2, he quotes the Kazus Sir Magid. The Rambam right, was a great rationalist. And the Rambam didn't believe in Shadim and Mazikim and all the stories in the Gemara of all sorts of wild things. The Rambam says about those types of things that Shadim are Sheker. So how do you learn all the Gemaras? Allegories, parables, mashalim. Yeah. The way the Kadosh Magid explained the Rambam is that, no, not that the Rambam was denying that Shadim exists. He called them Sheker because they're a Bria Shel Sheker. Esav's also Sheker. Amalek is also Sheker. It's Sheker in the sense that, well, this is not real Metzias. Right? Not that it doesn't exist, not that it doesn't present itself sometimes, but it's not connected to Kiyum, it's not connected to Emes, it's not connected to eternity. It's not able to last forever. And therefore, when the Rambam says that Shadim are Sheker, it means it's a Bria Shel Sheker. It's meant to be destroyed. It's the expression of Amalek in this world. Right? It's a Tumah that has to be eradicated from existence. That's how the Kadosh Magid explained that Rambam. Yeah, Pasha says the Rambam didn't mean it that way. The Rambam probably meant that I don't believe in these things because I'm a rationalist philosopher. Okay, but certainly now, right? You can say now that the Rambam is the Olam Emes, now that he knows the truth, so now this is how we read the Rambam. It's a dangerous way to talk, but okay. Okay, good. Let's go to the bottom paragraph on page 1. V'yesh la Amalek kochos gedolim. Now you have to know, Amalek had tremendous kochos. Uva kocho lasos dimyon chas v'shalom sheyesh l'seder hazeh shel mikra metzias. Amalek has the ability to convince itself that there's a mikra, there's a happenstance in the world, and that's reality. Just like we just explained a moment ago, that again, that these shadim are a bria shel sheker. So Amalek had all sorts of kochos of tumah. Haman was like a big, you know, witchcraft kind of guy. He was holding those things in those inyanim. Amalek used that koch of kishuf to try to harm Klal Yisrael. Kamo shekosev Rashi. Bachar lanu anashim. Yeshua goes select men to fight against Amalek. She yodin levato kshafim lefish b'nei Amalek mechashvin hayu. B'nei Amalek were known to be involved in kishuf, in the black magic, in the dark arts. Yeah, that was the world of Amalek. Okay? Now, he says in the last four lines on page 1, v'hu kamo sh'amru chazal, shelechei nikram kishuf. Why is kishuf called kishuf? Kshafim. He says, kishafim is a lashon, Yerushalmi says, is a lashon of what? Shemachishim pamalya shomala. That it's mechachish, it denies the pamalya shomala, the heavenly palace. Kishuf is a denial of the heavenly palace. It's using kochos in this world with the thought that maybe we can even overpower Hashem or to deny a higher reality. Shakarish Baruch Hu nasan kochos gedolim lahara. Hashem allowed negativity to have these kochos. Shebiachotol is damos kiilu hu reshus bifnei. Turn the page. Atzmo, to give it the impression that it's its own thing, and therefore Amalek tries to challenge from within. Right? We would say kishuf beyond this world. No, Amalek uses kochos of black magic in this world to try to challenge Hashem, who's above and beyond this world. He quotes in the next big paragraph. He quotes a Gemara in Chulin. You see it in the fifth line. The Gemara in Chulin tells a story about a person who was able to be mevatel kishuf. Yeah, the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Chanina. Take a look. Hahu itza davis kamahadra lemishkol afra mitutze kara de Rabbi Chanina. It was a woman who was trying. She was trying to weigh the dirt that was under the feet of Rabbi Chanina. Amar shekuli lo mistaye milcha einon mevatoksev. She was trying to do something with the dirt under his feet, some type of kishuf. He said, no, nothing's going to happen here. You know why? Because ain't old mavado. I don't believe in black magic. I only believe in God. So you're not going to be able to harm me. You're not going to be able to get whatever you want. Va'amari lama nikra shaman kishufim. Why are they called kishuf? Sha'ani Rabbi Chanina denaf shei zechusei. The Rabbi Chanina had a big zechus, so he was able to overcome them. It says from Gedalia, sure, hold on a second. You're telling me, right, that kishuf is nothing. And then you're telling me that Rabbi Chanina, because he had a great merit, he was able to conquer and overcome the kishuf. So which is it? So Rav Gedalia Shor says it's like this. A person who believes ain old mavado, if you only believe in Hashem, then these things can't harm you. If you believe in the superstitious stuff, if you believe in the black magic, if you believe that it's not Hashem running the world, so there'll be people who try to manipulate within Teva. That's what kishuf is, the manipulation of Teva. Rabbi Chanina didn't have any magic powers. Rabbi Chanina just had a deep belief that ain't old mavado. And a person who doesn't believe in these things, a person who's pure and innocent, when it says that Rabbi Chanina, nafisha zechusai, he had a lot of schus, it doesn't mean he had a lot of merits, as Rabbi Gedalia Shor. Zuchus is the lashon of Shem and Zayah Zach. He had a lot of innocence. He had a lot of purity. He believed in Hashem, period. That was it. If you believe in Hashem, then you don't have to feel that my life is out of control. I don't have to feel that things are happening that I don't want them to happen and that someone else can manipulate it. Again, whether Kishuv means black magic, whether it means my boss determining the success of my career. It's not true. A person who believes Ein Od Mavado, the more I attach myself to Hashem, the more I realize that there's no one in the world who can stop me or control me in a way other than the way that Hashem wants it to be. The bottom two lines. The Medrash Rabbi Isa, Ein Od Mavado, the Medrash Darshans. The Medrash explains, Ein Od Milvado, there's no one besides him, besides Hashem, Afilo B'chalalo Shel Olam. There's no one besides Hashem, even in the what? In the Chalal. The Chalal means the void, the empty space of the world. Kabbalistically, when Hashem created the world, he had to pull back his light to make a space for us. That's called the Chalalo Shel Olam. Ein Od Milvado, but even in the empty space, even when God is not present, he's present. Ubir Harav HaKadosh, Rabbi Gershon Henoch Miradzin, the Baal HaTcheles, as he was known. The first Rebbe of Radzin, his father was the Beis Yaakov of Ishbitz, was the son of the Meir Shiloch of Ishbitz. Yeah, the Radzin, the first Radzin Rebbe, was a very interesting man. He knew a lot. He was a Torah Mada kind of guy. Traveled on numerous occasions to Italy to study fish and different creatures in the aquarium because he was trying to figure out how he was desperately trying to, he was known as the Baal HaTcheles. He wrote a whole sefer trying to explain how we can try to get back to Tcheles today. That was his big mission statement. To try to somehow renew Klal Yisrael's ability to be Mekai in the midst of Tcheles. And he did tremendous work. Many of his things were eventually questioned or challenged, but he had tremendous Mesiras Nefesh for it, and he was a big tzaddik. He was the oldest son of the Beis Yaakov. Okay? So he passed away in 1890. So he says, Ki inyan chalal mora al nekudas habechira. What's a chalal? What's the void? The void is the place where I can make a choice. If Hashem's presence is too much in my life, right, this is the way we understand it. When Hashem pulled back from reality, yeah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world that it looks like there's a natural world. Our physical eyes tell us there's a natural world and that there's a natural cause and effect. But the realization of a Jew is that even within that void, where I'm able to choose because Hashem is not open, I can still find Hashem there. If Hashem is too much there, then there's no free will. There's no choice. It's too obvious that God exists. If Hashem pulls back too much, then it's impossible to find him at all. Hashem set up a perfectly balanced world that to our physical eyes, it looks like he's nowhere to be found. But our spiritual eyes are telling us time and time again in every situation, of course he's there. So says the Rebbe of Henoch, Rav Gershon Henoch of Radzin, Ki inyan hachalol mora al nekudas bechira. That void, that space, is the place where a person can choose. It appears like there's a void, like there's an empty space. And it looks like a person can operate on his own, which we all believe, as our physical eyes and our natural experience tell us. That what? That a person is able to make choices in this world. And that the choices you make affect how you do in your career, and where you're going to live, and who you're going to marry, and it's all my own choice. But the realization of a Jew has to be v'hu ki inyan chalal moral ilu akochus shel kishuv. That chalal, that void, that's the place of kishuv. That's the place of Amalek. That's the place of Mikra. Mashenasan Hashem Yisbarach kochus lahara shebiyacholtem lasus dimyon ki ilu heim reshus b'fnei atzmo. What's a shade? In that Gemara that describes Maseches Kedushin, you have the Tanu walks into the Beis Medrash and he sees a seven-headed snake. Right? Is that real? You say, no, that's not like real the way that like my watch is real. Right? It's a little bit different. Right, but my watch is also a little bit different from real. Real is Hashem. When I see a demon, I know this is like not regular. This is not normal real. This is not Metzias. Right. Hashem says, that's right, that's Kishuv. And guess what? The natural world is also. It's Kishuv. It's trying to deceive you. It's trying to blind you. To not recognize the Kodesh Baruch. To be able to realize that the Kodesh Baruch is, it's a dimyon. It's all imaginary. Like a ghost or a monster. Like Shadim and Mazikin. You would say, that's not real. So Hashem says, exactly. That's the world of Amalek. That's the world of Mikra. That's the world where you think things are happening through what it appears, you know, the way you see it. V'alzeh mor inyin chalal. That void, shenira ki'ilu yesh kan eza chalal, sheiniach bo kadosh baruch hu koach l'ra. As if Hashem carved out a space where evil can exist. Call it planet Earth, if you will. U'moshe Rabbeinu heir b'bnei Yisrael hadas, ki'af b'chalal zeh kadosh baruch hu amanik. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael that what? Ata haresa ladas. Ki Hashem hu Elokim. Moshe taught Klal Yisrael. Ein od mavado. Afilu b'chalalo sha'olam, says the Medrash. That's what the Zina Rebbe is explaining. What does the Medrash mean? Afilu b'chalal. A place that looks like it's void of God? Afilu b'chalalo sha'olam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. But you got to be the type of person who believes what? Einod mevado. When I start to buy into the world of Amalek, then I start to live my life like the world of Amalek. And he says in the last paragraph on this page, he quotes from Rav Tzadok, who explained that a person who denies Tchiyas HaMesim, the Gemara says, is not Zochet Tchiyas HaMesim. So you'll say, oh, it's a punishment. So Rav Tzadok says, no, it's not a punishment. If you deny something, it can't work for you. If you mistreat something, it can't help you. If you don't believe in God, Hashem can't help you. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, not that you're punished that you don't get Tchiyas HaMesim, what you don't believe in cannot help you. So if you buy into Mikra, if you buy into superstition, if you believe in the world of Amalek, that Hashem is not always in charge, okay, so that's going to become your reality. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, then Tchiyas HaMesim is not going to work for you. Not that it's a punishment, because you're such a heretic that you denied Tchiyas HaMesim, so you lose your, right? The person who denies Tchiyas HaMesim, ain't lo chelek lo amhava. It's not that it's such a big aveira that it's a, it's that you don't believe in it, it doesn't work for you, it doesn't help you. Person who doesn't believe it, it's not going to help. Right? Within that void, a person has to be able to continue to recognize the Kadosh Baruch. Okay? Now let's come to Tanis Esther. Because all of this is really just a hakdama to the world of Amalek, which will now, in the last two pages, be able, or page and a half, be able to teach us why fasting, and in particular the fast of Esther, has a strong, strong, strong connection to defeating Amalek. You sort of know the answer if you were here from the beginning, because that first round that we quoted, this really is really basically the answer. Ksiv. Pasuk says, okay, we're on the top of page Memhei. Ksiv. Moshe, Aaron, Vechor, Olu, L'Rosh HaGiva. Moshe, surrounded by Aaron and Chor, went up to the top of the mountain where he would daven and try to defeat Amalek. Says Rashi, in the name of the Medrash Mechilta, the Mikan she'ein pochsin migimel b'nei Adam la'avor lefnei ateva b'tanes tibur. From here we derive that no less than three people should go before the Teva, should go to lead the davening on the Tanis Tibur. Okay, maybe we've never seen this so much on the Tanis Tibur. On Yom Kippur you see it. On Yom Kippur the Chazan, right, is flanked on both sides by what? By people. That's a real thing. That's not just to catch him if he passes out in the middle of davening. There's an inyan that the Shliach Tzibur should be surrounded by two other individuals. And that's based on Moshe, Aaron, and Chor standing on the top of the mountain. Because when they were fighting Amalek, in the original battle of Amalek in Parshas B'Shalach, they were fasting. Right? And therefore, there should be no less than three people who are Moshe standing there with his hands up, that's his tefillah to Hashem, to be a Tanis Tibur, you need three people to present themselves before Hashem in that way. Because when they were fighting Amalek, they were fasting. Yeah? Imkain, if that's so, or Alkain, what's the ayin chaf here? Matzinu klal shenizkar harbe pam b'sifrei Rav Tzadok HaKohen Zatzal. We have a rule in the writings of Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. And what is that rule? The first time you encounter something in the Torah is the essence of that idea. So where is the first fast alluded to in the Torah? Where do we first find people fasting? What's right here? It's in Parshas B'Shalach. It's Moshe, Aaron, and Chor. It's Klal Yisrael fighting against Amalek. The first time we encounter a tanis, a fast, is by Mechemes Amalek, by fighting against Amalek. Rav Tzadok writes in many places, Ki makom asher nimtza eza davar rishon b'torah, simen shesham hu ha'ikar. Where you encounter something the first time, that's the essence of that idea. So explains Rav Gedalia Shor, Va'amakom ha'rishon asher kasev b'torah inyan tanis hu eitzal Amalek. The first time we encounter a fast is by Amalek. The way we defeat Amalek. You're going to have a totally new understanding of Tanis Esther today. Tanis Esther is a very different type of fast. Maybe that you already knew, if you even understand why we're fasting today. But you're going to have a totally new understanding of how the Tanis of Esther is a lead into the defeat of Amalek on Purim. How so? Because the first time we find fasting in the Torah is by Amalek. So what? V'chein matzinu. And our biggest victory over Amalek, namely Purim, was also through fasting, through tefillah and fasting. So what's happening today? What are we reliving today as we prepare for the Yom Tov of Purim? We see a strong bond between what? Defeating Amalek and fasting. So if we go back to the Rambam that we quoted at the beginning, what is the essence of a fast day? You have to review this Rambam every fast day. Because otherwise, you're not really engaged in what we're doing today. It's not just about fasting. The point of a fast day is to what? Is to realize that sometimes bad things happen in this world. And when bad things happen in this world, it's because of our sins. And that doesn't mean that if something bad happens to a particular person, that person, we don't know exactly what the score is. But we do know that Hashem caused that thing to happen. It wasn't by chance that difficulty, that tzara happened. It was not by chance. And therefore, says the Rambam, the essence of a fast day is to what? Is to stop and to reflect and to realize that ma'aseichem ha'ra'im is what caused everything. And a person who doesn't cry out, and a person who doesn't respond, and a person who says that all of the things that happen are nikra-nikra'is, it's just mikra, the Rambam says that's cruel, that's a malik. It's cruelty. That's a terrible way to respond. And therefore we start to see the connection between a malik versus a fast day. A malik tries to attribute the world to happenstance, to chance. But a Jew responds and says, no, a fast is the time when I stop more than any other time to reflect that things that happen in this world are precisely ordained by God. So based on the Ram that we explained, she is so doshal tanis hu kidei, sha'adam yakir shebeglal maisav haram hu ralo, that a person should realize that bad things happen because of bad behaviors, va'yedeha kara zos ba Yeshua. And by recognizing that, that brings the salvation. V'nisabar midvarv, she is so tanis. What's the essence of a fast? Hu ha'kara sha'atzara ba me'kadosh baruch hu ve'ena sibo mikra. A fast gives me the opportunity to recognize that bad things happen from God. It's part of Hashem's plan. It's not chance. The fast thing he goes on to explain is simply what? To get us to get our soul to be more aware, right? Sometimes we feel the opposite. I'm so focused on being hungry that I'm focused on my body so much. But the goal is to put the body aside to let my neshama reflect. That's the point of a fast day. And that's how we defeat Amalek. The fast of Moshe, Aaron, and Hor and Klal Yisrael then, and the fast of Esther and Klal Yisrael now, is the fast of defeating Amalek. Go to the left column, the next paragraph. And the same thing is true for all generations. Sha'ofen lizgaber al kocha shal amalek hu al yedei hadivrei tzomos v'za'akasam. The same way that they defeated Amalek in Bishalach, the same way they defeated Amalek when on Purim, is the same way they defeat evil in the world today. By being people who what? Who keep Hashem's presence in it. And that Hashem goes into deep hester upon him. It's a lot of concealment today. Right? More so than ever in history, we have the challenge of continuing to say, all the crazy things that happen, it's all from Hashem. Continue to believe it. It's not chance that there's still a God in the world. Yeah, underline that line. That's what we're doing today. That the 13th of Adar is established as a Tanis, as an introduction to Purim. In what sense? Every Yud Gimel Adar we're saying as we prepare to defeat a Malik on Purim. We understand that the way to defeat a Malik is what? Is Tfilah and Tanis. That's how we defeated them then, that's how we defeat them now. Kamo shepirshu harishonim divrei ha-gemara at the beginning of Maseches Megillah. Sheyom yud gimel kasher lekriyas ha-megillah. Why is the 13th day a day that's fit for reading the Megillah? Right? Yud aleph, yud beis, yud gimel, yud aleph, tesvav. How do you know you can read the Megillah on the 13th day? Because yud gimel is man kihila lecholhi. What does it mean? It was a time when the Jews gathered. What does it mean they gathered? Upei rusho ki ha-kavana shu yom tanis. The Jews gathered to fast. V'tanis hu b'ha-kahal. And the fast took place as a tzibur. As Esther says, Lechenos kol Yehudim vitzumu alai. Gather together and fast. Sheyomatanis huzman lahikohel ulavo elabachina shel v'nikalu v'amur al nafsham. And the Jews get together and they get focused and they're omid al nafsham. Doesn't just mean that they fasted for their lives. The Chiddush Shem explains, al nafsham means shakavana lemala mishorash nafsham. Al nafsham. They didn't just fast for their souls. They fasted to the realization that there's something al nafsham, there's something above. Al nafsham, shoresh nafsham. Sheyigiyu ad sham, that they should be able to reach such a place beyond this world. To recognize that there's something more. V'nezen nasa al yidei atanis. And that's what happens through atanis. That's what happens through atanis. Okay? Let's learn now how this idea is even emerges from the halacha. Okay? We'll see an amazing thing. Let's ask a question on Tanis Esther. A tanis that leads into a Yom Tov. We have a rule that usually the day before a Yom Tov and the day after Yom Tov have a little bit of the Kedusha Sayom. A little bit of the Kedusha of the Yom Tov. right? The Isru Chag after the Yom Tov. We're not going to say Tachnun at Mincha today, even though it's a fast day. We're not going to say Avinu Malkeinu. Yeah. So what's the pshat? Isn't that against the halacha? It implies that something is different about this fast. Look at the bottom paragraph on page Mem Hey. V'davar hazeh matinu yosod b'halacha. The very fact that we're fast, it's very strange to go from a fast into such a celebration. Shetanis Esther hu akdama liyom apurim. The fact that Tanis Esther could be akdama to Purim, Shaharan b'perek beiz the Tanis, brings the Ravid, Shehiksha, who asked the question. Hakayim alon b'chol yom tov, shamagilas Tanis, shasurim b'tanis lefneim l'achareim. There was a book, there was a source that we had called Megillas Tanis. We still have it. Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis was a record of all the minor holidays in Jewish history. Right? Events that took place, salvations that took place for the Jews. The only two Yom Tovim that emerged from Megillas Tanis as more real Yom Tovim are Chanukah and Purim. Right? Megillas Tanis, the Gemara says, was batel with the exception of Chanukah and Purim. And it says in Megillas Tanis that on a day or before or after Yom Tov, you can't fast. And so ask the Ravid, the Ran quotes it in Maseches Tanis in the second parak, Erev Purim. So how do we fast before Purim? How are you allowed to fast before Purim? Are you allowed to fast on Erev Chanukah? No. How can you fast on Erev Purim? Because of a Ravid, there's something different about this fast. De'enu doma l'shar tanios, d'zikaron l'nesu, shenasabo. There's something different, there's qualitative difference about this fast. Right? That some fasts are commemorating something bad that happened. What is this? Is this a fast commemorating the threat of Haman? No. It's a zikaron to the nace that happened to us. It's a celebration of the victory. A fast to celebrate a victory? That's right. And the same way they accepted the Yom Tov upon themselves, they accepted the fast day upon themselves. It's connected to the Yom Tov. What's the Ravid talking about? What's he saying here? Ulidvarenu me'irim hadvarim. According to what we've explained, the Ravid makes perfect sense to us. Ki atanis hi chelak me'aseder shamachias amalek v'chelak me'hanes. What does the Ravid mean when he says, this is not like a regular fast, this is a zikaron to the nes? Why is fasting a zikaron to defeating Amalek? The answer is because fasting defeats Amalek. It's not just fasting and davening gets you more spiritually connected in general. No, the whole point of a fast is to reflect that God runs the world. And Amalek's whole challenge to Hashem is that the world is natural. The world runs by chance, mikra. Asher kara'u, asher karcha b'derech. It's all mikra. And therefore, defeating Amalek through the Tanis is part of the Nes. Turn to the last page. Ki al yedei divrei hatzomos v'zakosam. Bo lidei hakara shel pnimiyos seder hanhaga shel HaKadosh Baruch. But through fasting, you reflect. And when you reflect, you realize there's a God who controls the details of creation. V'al yedei zeh govri Yisrael. And when we're connected to God, like we learned from the Gemara in Chulin Dav Zayin, when that Kishuf lady was starting up with Rabbi Chanina, he said, Eino Mavada, you can't touch me. You can't control anything. Because if I only believe in Hashem, then I'm protected from all the Bria Shel Sheker, from the creations of falsehood. And that's how we win. And therefore, part of how we defeat Amalek today, in every generation, is continuing to fast, and again, to understand the point of a fast. So review those words of the Rambam in Hilchos Tanius. The point of a fast is to realize the world is not nikra nikris. It's not happenstance. That God runs the show. If you look in the writings of the Gaonim in the Shiltos of Rav Chai Gaon, in the Shiltos, which was his writings on Parsha and the Moadim, very interesting in Halacha. The Netziv wrote his famous commentary on it called the Hamak Shela. Sheheyur ahad kaimalan. When Purim falls out on Sunday, when is Tanis Esther? Not on Shabbos. Not on Erev Shabbos. On Thursday. We push it back to Thursday. Right? The question is, the Gemara says, we never move up fast days. Right? If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we push it off. Fast the next day. The Gemara uses the phrase, he quotes it here. Right? He says, when Purim falls out on Aleph Shabbos, Magdimim HaTanis L'Yom Hei Shalafanav. We move the fast up to the Thursday beforehand. HaBuchol Sharatanios Yesh Klal Akdume Puranis Lo Magdaminan. We have a rule in general when it comes to fasting that Akdume Puranios, to move up hardship, Lo Magdaminan. We don't do. So why when it comes to Tanis Esther, will we move it up? Will we bring it in early? We'll bring it in on the Thursday? Right? On the Thursday before? Why? Kosev Sham explains the Shiltos. Shetanis Esther Eino Paranios Kishar Tanisim. When you fast on Asar B'Teves, it's Paranios. You're reflecting on the tragedy and the punishment of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, or the first stage of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. When you fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, it's a tragic fast. When you fast on Tisha B'Av, it's a tragic fast. When you fast on Tzom Gedalia, it's a tragic fast. They all reflect Paranos, failures of Klal Yisrael, and punishments by Hashem. Tanis Esther is not a sad day. I was like coming out of shul this morning, and like, you know, on a Tanis, you're not like sure what you're allowed to like say to people, right? Because you have like a little bit of like Tisha B'Av in your head. Am I allowed to say like hello to people this morning? Yeah, I'm allowed to say hello to people. Right, but should I say like good morning to someone? Like, ah, it's Tanis. Is Tanis a good day? Yes, Tanis Esther is a good day. Tanis Esther is just us, right? Okay, it has the outer trappings of a Tanis, right? But internally, this is step one of the simcha of destroying a Malik. We're using the Tanis to deepen our connection to Hashem, to Einod Mavado, to defeat a Malik. That's what we're doing right now. So it's not a sad day, and the proof is in the halacha. The fact that you can move up the fast is a proof that Tanis Esther is not a sad day. It's not Peronos. It's a celebration of the victory over Amalek. You can't fast Tanis Esther after Purim. It doesn't make sense. Tanis Esther is what gives us Purim. It's what helps us to defeat Amalek. The whole point of the Tanis is to lead us into Purim. They fasted and davened to defeat Amalek. We're going to do the same. The ability to defeat Amalek through the fast. Okay, final paragraph for today. Berush, Meseches Megillah. If you want to know more about Tanis Esther, where in the Gemara does the Gemara talk about Tanis Esther? Nowhere. Only the Rishonim talk about it. Okay? The Rush, Meseches Megillah, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who discusses what this fast is about. Which fast is this? What are we fasting? Is this the fast that Esther fasted before she went to Achashverosh? Is this a different fast? What fast is this? Right. When was the fast? When were the 3 days that the Jews fasted in preparation for Esther to go to Achashverosh? When was that? Pesach. That was Pesach. That was Nisan. That wasn't on you, right? Yud Gimel Adar, what was today? Today was the day Haman was supposed to kill us. So what is it? Are we fasting because of fear of that Haman made a gezer on this day? Are we commemorating the fast that they did? Well, their fast wasn't in Adar. Their fast was 3 days in Nisan. Right? The fast that was in 3 days in Nisan, Haman gets killed, and then the Jews defend themselves almost a year later. Right, Nisan to Adar, to the end of the calendar. Haman makes his decree. It's about a year away. Haman gets killed at the beginning, and then a year later, on the selected date that the letters had gone out to kill Jews, the Jews defended themselves. So what exactly is this fast? The Rush explains in Meseches Megillah. He quotes Rashi. When the Gemara explains in the first daf of Meseches Megillah that the 13th is a day that you can read the Megillah because it's Zman Kehila L'Cholhi. It's a day of gathering for all Jews. Rashi says, "Mivnei Shahaya Yom Milchama." This was the day that the Jews fought for their lives, Yud Gimel Adar. So, of course, you can read the Megillah on Yud Gimel Adar. How did the Rishonim challenge Rashi? Again, the Gemara says, "Yud Gimel Zman Kihila Lacholi." It's a time for gathering of all Jews. Yeah. So Rashi says it was the day that we fought for our lives. So, for sure, you can read the Megillah. That's the day the Purim story happened. So, Rishonim say, "No, hold on." The celebration of Purim is what, as the Megillah itself says, Yom HaMasher Nachu HaYehudim Me'oyveihem, days where we rested from our enemies, the 14th, the 15th. Fighting is not a good sign. Fighting is not is not a day of celebration. Of course, we won that war. So they ask on Rashi, Hiksha Alav HaRash, V'chi Eza Siba Hi L'Kriyas HaMegillah Bo'Soyom. Reading the Megillah on the day that we fought? No, the Megillah celebrates the fact that what? That we won, Asher Nachu, that we rested, that it was over. Why are we celebrating the fight? And therefore, he cites the opinion, the Rosh cites the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Shehu yom kihigla, mibnei shehu yom tanis. And this is really the source for Tanis Esther. The 13th of Adar is the day that we can read the Megillah because it's a day of Tanis. What Tanis? I mean, we know this Tanis, but what is this Tanis? V'adayin yesh lahakshos ala Rosh. V'chi eiza siba hi l'kriyas ha-Megillah. So today is a fast day. What does that have to do with Kriyas ha-Megillah? How does that make this an appropriate day to read the Megillah? Because we're fasting, what's the connection? Ma she'osu hayom hu yom tanis, v'alo osu hayom adayin lo ba Yeshua. If it's a day of fasting, that means it's recognizing that we're still struggling. So explains of Gedalia, sure, no. Tanis Esther is not a sad fast. Tanis Esther is not a fast of tzara. Tanis Esther is a fast of celebration. Ukamosha Hiksha Rashi, the same way that the Rashi asked on Rashi. What would he say to our question on him? Elishalafianias daiti. Of course, the 13th of Adar is an appropriate day to read the Megillah, because the fasting of the 13th of Adar is part of the victory over Amalek. Because a fast comes to erase the Amalek attitude of happenstance, of chance. That's what Amalek's all about. Rooted in Esav, the shove of the world. And therefore, when we're fasting and we're connected to Hashem in that way, then we're able to defeat Amalek. V'lachin shapir koren bo ha-Megillah. And therefore, it's an entirely appropriate day for a Jew to read the Megillah. Okay, so it's a totally different type of fast. It's not a sad fast. It's not a punishment fast. It's a fast of understanding that fasting reminds me that Hashem runs the world. And that realization obliterates all the evil in the world. Right? Again, in a simple way. Not only in a supernatural way, in a metaphysical way. In the most simple way. When something bad happens in the world, I have a choice to make. Do I see it as the Yad Hashem, albeit something I don't yet understand? Or do I see it as just like bad luck? You know, things could have worked out differently. If they could have, then they would have. That's what a Jew believes. If they could have worked out differently, they would have worked out differently. Right? And a person has to recognize, even in the hard times, by he omen asadasa, to recognize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there every step of the way. Okay? That's the secret of Tanis Esther. Nice, no? It's a beautiful way just to show how Tanis is really the whole essence of defeating Amalek.